News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
December 12th, good morning. It's
good
Saturday,
morning.
And
yes,
howdy, everybody.
Is.
Well, you know, welcome to the El Paso History Show, now live on KTSM AM 690 in El Paso, and streaming live on Facebook page El Paso History TV. Howdy, y'all.
Hello.
Oh, that's
our
El Paso History Radio Show. We'll get on El Paso History TV when we get it onto YouTube. We'll get there.
Too many subjects.
Live on Facebook, remember in El Paso, when also. And this is the place where we say Texas history begins in El Paso. Melissa, hello.
Hello. Did you vote?
Several times.
Well, good. I mean,
this is El Paso. That's what we do.
And you and your... Never mind.
Just like Georgia.
Yeah, well, I just went and voted this morning. It was real easy to do, so get out there and vote. It is an important election, and vote for the winner.
That's today.
There you go.
You can find us on the KTSM outlet still.
That's right. You can still go to ktsmradio.com, where you can listen to us live via the iHeartRadio link, and you'll get to hear us anywhere in the country or world.
Actually, on Facebook, I think our reach is even better. Because it goes all over through computers. It's easier for people to find it that way.
And I think it's probably more interesting because you're not just watching two people talk. You're also seeing pictures and information. So it's kind of like a little TV show.
And that's what we've done. We're now producing television on radio with the help of Andrew J. Polk in the control room there. Thank you kindly.
Thank you.
And he does a lot of work for this show now. And so we're going to be a lot on television this
morning. He's our producer.
He is. And eventually we'll give him a paycheck. You never can tell. But you can also, just a note for Pepe's, they have a Mexican food gift certificate. Ooh. For a $25 certificate. You can pay for $20. Use that as a Christmas gift this year. You got Mission Del Rey?
Also, you have, like, there's the holiday season's here, and so Mission Del Rey will be open on Saturdays with weekly $20 radio show coupons for online orders only, and you can go to missiondelrey.com or call them at 440-2140.
And you can get in their showroom, because if you do social distancing, they'll let you in.
That's a great place for gifts.
All right, history moment coming up today.
Yeah, we do. Yes, we're going to be talking. It was the third day of Hanukkah, so happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah to our listeners, and this history moment is about a generous local El Pasoan who was generous to all during Hanukkah and Christmas.
We like that even better. All right, let's talk today about the history we're going to look at and focus on. The International Boundary Water Commission has a lot to do with most of all of our area history, and we hear that explained by Mark Howe and Gabe Duran. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you? Oh, I cut him off again, Andrew.
Uh-oh.
Call him back. I do that every week here. Guys, call right back. But the thing is, we've got Gabe Duran and Mark Howe. And Mark is a current IBWC Cultural Resources Specialist. And Gabe is a former IBWC employee. And we're talking about the boundary monuments today. Which one did you get first there, Andrew? And we've got this is my fault.
Easy. That's okay. This happens.
No, it's a sequence of buttons, what I've got to do here.
Oh, yeah.
And so who do we have here? Is this this should be Mark. Mark, put up Mark.
Can you hear me?
I now
there
can.
He is.
Hey, no,
hey,
my
Mark.
Bad. Let's start over. Good morning. How are you guys here?
Good morning, Mark.
And also we have on the other phone, I got the buttons right, that sequence. Gabe, I know you're
Take
there.
Take the buttons away from him.
How are you guys doing?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we got. No, it's my fault. There's a sequence of buttons to push, and I now have done it twice in 2 weeks. But good morning and welcome, guys. We've got Gabe here. And, Gabe, you're a former IBWC employee. Are you surviving retirement?
Oh, yes. And let's say it isn't everything I thought it would be. I enjoyed working for the commission. And retirement, I don't think, is for me, but that's where I'm at right now.
So. We'll keep you busy on the radio this morning, that's for sure. And, Mark Howe, you're currently an IBWC Cultural Resource Specialist. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, what the cultural resource specialist is, I basically am the historian, and also I do archaeology and assigned duties environmental management for the environmental management division.
The overall International Boundary and Water Commission, people know it best by noting the fact that there are boundary monuments between here and California, basically starting in El Paso with the river. And I think we have some pictures of that. Andrew, if you can put some of those up. We've got pictures of the International Boundary Water Commission monuments. And they start right there at the brick factory on the Rio Grande, right there at Smeltertown, right?
Correct. Yes, they sure do, yeah. Monument number one, set there by William Hemsley Emery. So it's been a long time now. That was sitting about 1850. Now, and those monuments stretch all the way across the river. So that's monument number two that you see on your screen right now. And that's up on the hill. Mark, you might want to talk a little bit about that monument, what you know about it.
Just remember, you guys are watching Facebook and talking to me live. We're live and it going out. Those pictures are about a minute behind you. So just remember that. Go ahead.
And they're on Facebook, correct?
Oh, yeah, we are. We're definitely on Facebook. Gabe's watching us already.
Yeah, they're going through the slides now. So it's really cool, though.
Okay, I'm on Facebook. I'm trying to find out where this is at.
Go to El Paso History Radio Show.
Yes, that's where I'm at.
And then you'll look in the center of the page, and there's a link that says Watch Live.
Have you found it yet?
Yeah.
Gabe found it. I know you can do it, Mark.
Yeah, I got it.
There you go.
But I can talk a little bit about those monuments.
Yeah.
Monument 2, you can see pretty prominently in the morning when the sun is hitting it. It's on the side of a mountain. That's Monument 2. And it's pretty pronounced. It shines really beautiful in the morning when the sun is right on it. And, of course, that's the boundary between the United States and Mexico. And the river heads north, but the boundary heads west, all the way out to California. And, I see a picture of the border fence now. We have to remember that border fence is set off to the north 3 feet from all the monuments. So there's a little strip of land in there that is not in Mexico, as many people think. It's the monument is the designator between the two countries.
Well, we put up a series of monument pictures pop up at random in that feed that you're watching. So let's talk more generally about the International Boundary Water Commission itself. What is it, and why do we have one?
Well, it was established after the war with Mexico in 1848. And in the treaty between the two countries, the treaty says that they were going to assign two commissioners, one from Mexico, one from the United States. And these two commissioners would be able to mark the boundary on the ground as if it were written into the treaty. So you start there with two commissioners, Pedro Garcia Conde. And the first commissioner was this gentleman, Mr. Weller, congressman out of Ohio. They both come down here, and they meet in El Paso. But actually, the first monument ever established between the two countries was the last monument, number 258, on the Pacific Ocean, and separates the two countries.
It's out there on the beach. It's on the beach, right?
Yeah, it's right there on the beach. And there's a bluff, just
that's where it's at, on that bluff.
On the land, and the monument looks over the ocean and to the east, just very mountainous, San Diego, California area. So it's pretty impressive when you see it. That monument number 258 was shipped all the way around South Africa and made it to San Diego area.
Oh, wow.
Around 1849, made of marble out of New York.
Well, the whole
monument established there.
The International Boundary Water Commission is consisting of the United States and Mexico, correct?
Yeah, two partners, really. It's what they really are, two partners in this commission. And it's very much like you and your home, and you have partners, you know, maybe on three sides, two sides. But you share a property line, right? You share a common property line.
Right,
That's exactly what these monuments designate, the limit of each country. And as you look at those pictures on the monuments, you can see the very tippy point of those monuments is the actual point on the boundary. And a lot of people think, well, you know, the boundary line should be at this latitude and longitude, but the boundary is actually the established monument, and it only goes between monument and monument. It doesn't, you can't skip a monument and say the boundary's there. You have to go from monument to monument. So
in a straight line.
And yeah, because there's you know, small deviations. Let's say the technology way back when was not the technology we have now where we can pinpoint a point on the ground to within a few centimeters. But back then in 1849, 1850, it wasn't like that. You had to do it all by observations from stars and the rotations around Jupiter. And it was very technical and still is for the time.
Andrew,
interesting stuff.
Do we have pictures of these guys, Andrew? Why don't you put the pictures of these guys up? Did you put the one up in the radio studio? Because that one, we have a picture from when you guys were in here last time, a couple of years ago. And it's sort of like I can look to my left where you guys were and think you're there, but you're not moving.
I think I've got that on my system.
So just so you know, we now have a picture of the two of you up. But that's who we're talking about. Gabe Durant on the left and Mark Howe on the right. And also, we have another picture I want you to put up, Andrew. That would be the one of mile marker one from the aerial and that boundary monument one. And that's one that Mark sent me this morning. And this is the most interesting look at the get that one. Tell me when that one's up. This one is an aerial of the area that's now basically where the boundary marker one is. But it's got the new border wall. And so you guys, when the guy put the border wall up, he put it up on his own property, the brick factory guy, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And you can see towards the bottom left, it takes a jog, and then it wraps around where the levee is. That jog is, and to the south, which is to the left of that picture, is IBWC property up to about where that clump of trees is. And I think you can, if you look very closely, you can see a white dot, and that white dot is the actual boundary. And then that border fence is 3 feet to the north.
Well, that's the most unusual area. I wanted to put that shot up because it shows everything. You can also see the American Dam there across the Rio Grande in the left-hand side.
Yes, you can see American Dam. It has water in it at the time, which is cool.
Yeah, that's unusual, quite unusual. But the point is that is basically a major area where you guys focus your local work. The American Dam is part of your world, right?
Correct.
Well, I'm retired now, so it's not part of my world.
Okay,
anymore,
okay, don't get technical on me, Mark. Mark, it's part of your world, right?
Right, but it's still with Gabe's. That's part of the canalization project and rectification project. Was rectification goes south from there, and those were New Deal projects put in back in the 1930s. And one thing I was going to suggest was I was pointing out you had the picture of Monument 185 with the two guys there. And where you see where the flag is at, that's actually probably one of the original Emory monuments that was put in the 1850s. They were just rock stacks.
Well, back in
the 1890s, the Barlo Blanco survey came in, and they redid them with the obelisk you see now.
Take a moment. I want to hear this story kind of quickly, but let's hear it. Back in the day of Emory, they had somebody in Washington, I guess it was, had the bright idea that if they're going to put a boundary on the Rio Grande, they're going to need some boats.
Yeah, I'll speak to that.
Tell us that story, Gabe.
Well, yeah, so let's put our minds back in 1848 when there was no boundary markers on the ground. Some commissioners were assigned, so you had Commissioner Bartlett. Let me back up a little bit. So I mentioned you had Commissioner Weller was the first one. And then he got fired because he was a loyal Democrat, and the Whigs come into power. And they, in the 11th hour, assign Weller to the commissionership. He gets kicked out, and then you have Bartlett assigned. And Bartlett is going to meet Commissioner Conde, Pedro Garcia Conde, here in El Paso in 1849, November. So around a little month or two before this, in November, they were going to have a date in El Paso. And he comes here, and he does some negotiations with Mexico, and then they decide they're going to work to the west from El Paso. So they go off. But to get to El Paso back then, it was like Calistoga wagon thing, wild and rough cowboys running around.
Across the desert. Across the desert.
Oh, yeah. So they landed in Indianola, Texas. It doesn't exist anymore. It does, but not as a little town. It used to be like the Corpus Christi is now, the major hub for getting into Texas. But a hurricane wiped it out. So they land in Indianola, and they come across all of Texas and wagons. And they thought when they got to El Paso, there was going to be the mighty Rio Grande, and they needed boats.
Oh, yeah.
So they hauled some iron boats all the way across Texas to get to El Paso.
When they iron, got here, iron boats.
In November. Yeah, iron boats. When they got here, they saw it was a trickle. And it would be wonderful to know what happened to those boats and where those boats are, where they ended up.
Yeah, iron.
Really?
Oh, my.
Them. Iron boats, yeah. And they brought horseshoes or mule shoes from back east. Those mule shoes or horseshoes were big because the American brand of mule and horse were huge. But when you got to the Southwest here, you had the Mexican variety, and the horseshoes didn't fit them. So they had to throw all those away and redo all the horseshoes for the animals that lived here at the time.
Gabe Duran, I want to stop you there. We need to take a break. Come back and tell us what happened to the people who brought the boats to El Paso, because that is a whole other end of the same story. And we'll get to that in a minute.
Sure.
And we can take a phone call or two, if you wish, or on Facebook. We'll come back and talk about who we're seeing. You guys seeing some people on there.
Yeah, we got a lot of people on there this morning. We've got our favorites. We got Jaime Koppenbarger. We've got Angel Sanchez. We've got Woody Wobb. We've got Rob Caldwell. God, you name it. We got a lot of different people. Lupa Neighbors, that's a new one to me. So, yeah, you can put up some questions to us on Facebook page. I'm trying to monitor those as quick as I can. Or call us at 915-544-5876, 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
Hi, I'm CJ Pearson, and I'm everything the left hates. Young, black, and unapologetically conservative. Generation Z is tired of the BS, tired of the cancel culture, indoctrination, and tired of being told what to think. Join me each and every week as I take on the left, uncensored, unfiltered, and unafraid. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, but don't take our word for it. Listen to CJ Pearson Uncensored every Thursday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Rudy Giuliani here. I've learned a lot this year about home title theft. Here's how the crime happens. The legal titles to our homes are kept online where they can be hacked. A cyber thief finds your home's title, forges your signature on a quitclaim deed stating you sold your home to him. Then he takes out loans against your home until your equity is gone. You won't know until the collection calls pour in. You're not protected by insurance, your bank, or common identity theft programs. Home Title Lock protects you. And in the unlikely event you become a victim of title theft while a member, Home Title Lock will spend up to $250,000 in legal fees to help restore your home's title. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. Then use code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. That's code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com. Home Title Lock protects you. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. That's code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com.
What are you doing to keep your nose clean? After all, the nose is your body's air filter, the first line of defense against airborne diseases. I'm Martin Hoke, and I invented Navage, the powered suction nose cleaner. Navage cleans your nose by flushing out allergens, mucus, dust, and germs, including dangerous infectious germs. So with all the horrible stuff in the air, now's the perfect time to join more than a million Americans who use Navage. It has over 30,000 online reviews averaging 4.7 stars. Why? Because Navage is easy to use. It's inexpensive, all-natural, drug-free, and safe. And most important, it works. Think about it. You wash your hands every day. Maybe it's time to clean your nose, too. Breathe better, sleep deeper, feel and be healthier. Online at Navage.com and at Target, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
If you want to get your business on the radio and you don't need help from a professional, you really need to check out iHeartAdBuilder.com. Not only is it extremely affordable, online, customizable, and heard by 9 out of 10 Americans every month, it's just so easy. You can even make your own radio ad all from your smartphone, wherever you are. Click, listen, approve, and get your ad on air. Get started today at iHeartAdBuilder.com. That's iHeartAdBuilder.com.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Just to let you know, you can also reach us right now on 690, ephistory690@gmail.com. Looking at that email right now if you want to do that. I'll let you know also we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com, El Paso History TV. We got El Paso Gold DVDs on there. For no charge, you can look at those. It took me 20 years to put that list together. But also, we got a list of ABC 7 spots we did with Bernie Sargent. And they're there at youtube.com/El Paso History TV. 20 different segments. You can learn a lot about El Paso history just looking at those for free. You can also subscribe to that. It's El Paso History TV on YouTube. We have new subscribers on December 10th. Albert Sebo, Celso Hawkes, and with West Coast Chicano. West Coast Chicano showed up on December the 5th. Thank you for that. And it's an interesting thing to do there. Some comments also on some of the videos. Warren Roy commented on the video Gunfights of the Old West. He says, great video, very informative. It's because Six Guns and Shady Ladies are on it.
Ah, well, that's, you know that. That's a nice compliment.
It is. So there. So what do you got? What do you
got? Especially for the Shady Ladies. Well, I want to mention, we mentioned Mission Del Rey earlier, but they've got great souvenirs are stocked up for visitors this season, including new popular tie-dyed shirts and hoodies. And you also have great items for visitors and holiday gift giving. So Mission Del Rey Southwest is now open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and Saturdays through December 31st. Of course, they'll be closed on Christmas and New Year's Day. And don't forget, Mission Del Rey still has its weekly $20 show giveaway for the first five listeners each week who shop online and use coupon code HISTORY during checkout, and they'll receive that $20 coupon. So you can do a lot of shopping on that. And that's also, it's not combined with any other offers, and a $20 minimum must be had. So the store is located in the Quadrant Business at 1421 North Lee Trevino Drive, Suite A, 7, or you can give them a call at 440-2140. That's a lot to squeeze.
It's easier to enter their place on Pelicano.
Well, yeah, but you don't really see it. Yeah, so you know, if you can't figure out, you can. They've got a good map on their website.
They're good people. You can also do a cool thing and have it shipped to you, or you can go pick it up.
That's true.
All right, took the International Boundary Water Commission. A lot going on there. We started with a story about how they brought iron boats across Texas because some guy in a bureaucratic mode thought the Rio Grande would need boats. And so,
can you imagine?
And Gabe Duran and Mark Hauer on the line with us talking about this. But you were talking about, Gabe, how they brought the iron boats over here. And then they had a crew of people that brought them. And, of course, they couldn't use them, so there's that. But then they released the crew. What happened then?
Well, you have to remember, back then, Texas was pretty much the frontier for the United States. It had come into the Union just a few years earlier. So if you committed a crime like in New York City or Philadelphia or somewhere back east, and you wanted to get away from the law, where would you go?
Mm-hmm.
You would go to a place where they couldn't get you, yeah. And that was Texas at the time. So when Bartlett lands in Indianola, figures he has to hire a bunch of men to haul all this stuff. It was like 20,000 tons of freight. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. And he had to haul it all the way to El Paso to meet up with the Commissioner Conde from Mexico. And he did not want to be late. He wanted to be right on time. So he goes around Texas back then, and he starts hiring people. He hired these cowboys and these men that were young and unemployed. And many of them were runaways from the law from the United States.
Oh, boy.
And these guys were ruffians, and they had their guns. And as they're coming across the plains of Texas, they come across some people who they need firewood from, and they shoot a couple of those people to get the firewood, which is kind of outrageous. And Bartlett has to pay off the families, and he says it was for their wants. And they're coming across, and they have card games, and there's shootings for cheating for card games. And so it gets pretty wild. But when he gets up here to El Paso, he's got all these ruffians with him, and he has to let them go because he doesn't need them anymore. You don't have to haul iron boats when you see the Rio Grande here in El Paso. So he lets them go, and four of them make their way down to the big towns in the area, which were Socorro and San Elizario. El Paso was practically nothing back then.
Yeah.
Let's say it was nothing.
It was just in Mexico, partly. And that was El Paso del Norte, yeah.
Hamlet on the Mexican side, which is El Paso del Norte, which is a little bit bigger. But on the U.S. side, what will become the U.S. side, there was nothing. It was just a few little ranch houses. And, he lets these men go, and they go down to the big towns, which is Socorro and San Eli, as I mentioned, and they start doing a bunch of bad stuff.
Oh, no.
They start raping women and shooting people. There was no law except for Major Van Horn, who was the military leader here in El Paso at the time. And if you wanted to travel anywhere in the West back at that time, 1850, you had to have military escort, or you might get ambushed by Indians or held up by Mexican bandits or all kinds of ruffians. There were a lot of bad people running around.
It was a tough place, yeah.
It was a rough town, a rough time here. So they go down there. They're doing all these atrocities, and he, Bartlett, sends a file of men to go establish order once again. He captures three of the four that were causing all this trouble. And the fourth one got away. But the other three were captured. And they, when I say they, Bartlett assembles what he tries to do is get people to become a jury. So he gets the locals, some of the...
He had a trial?
Trial their peers?
An actual trial?
Court.
Oh, my.
They find that these guys are guilty. So they take them out in front of the Church of Socorro. Right there, there's a boot hill. It'd be good for anybody to go out there and visit and just walk around and see what's going on there. And he hangs three of them there. The fourth one got away. A week later, they catch up with him. And they put a noose around him, and he is also hung.
Wow.
So that's pretty bad stuff back then. So
that's a bizarre
the West,
pretty
yeah.
stuff.
That's a part of the bizarre story of El Paso. It really is. Well, Gabe Duran, thank you for knowing these stories and bringing them on the radio. Mark Howe is there. We're going to talk to both of you a little more. Another break time here. We're going to come back.
Yeah, that was
quick. And we have a caller online. We're going to come back and also talk a bit about the chamizal after this. So,
chamizal.
We got a phone caller already, and you also got some more comments on Facebook.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we had some different. Tina Pilcher, she's calling. She's out of the area also. We have, let's see. I forgot to write down where they're from. We had somebody out of...
Michael Pata is on there.
Michael, he's in Dallas. Coppell, Texas. We have somebody listening. Maureen Corican. She's listening to us.
Cindy Malazzo's out
there.
Cindy,
she's
local.
Yeah,
she's been
our call screener before.
She has, and she's been on the air. All right, taking a break here. Come back in just a moment and call us if you wish to.
915-544-5876. 915-544-KTSM.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
What can help you take advantage of today's low mortgage rates and save money? Rocket can. You could save hundreds of dollars every month by refinancing with Rocket Mortgage at today's near historic low rates. If your current rate is over 4%, with today's low rates, you could lower your payment by over $150 a month, saving thousands in interest every year. With a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, you could consolidate and pay off high-interest debt, tackle home improvements that could add value to your home, or even set aside cash for your child's future education. We've already helped over 1 million clients just like you reach their home financing goals this year alone. So remember this. What can give you the technology to refinance easily and save money? Rocket can. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Savings are based on quick loans, internal data. Points and fees may apply. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing letter. License in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Research Raccoon can answer any question about your business for less than you'd think. From a new product to a small tweak on a proven winner, Research Raccoon gives you U.S.-based data you can put to use that day. Plus, it's affordable enough for small businesses. So stop wondering if your business is on the right track and know for sure with data to back it by using Research Raccoon. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more and discover which plan is best for you. Research Raccoon. Any question, anytime.
News Talk 690 AM and Conviva Care Centers want to bring good wishes to our seniors in El Paso. Nominate your favorite senior at ktsmradio.com for your chance to win them a gift card. Make them feel extra good because they really, really deserve it. It can be any senior, like a family member, your uncle, grandmother, a friendly neighbor, or heck, even you. Any senior who could use some cheering up this holiday season. Happy holidays from News Talk 690 AM and Conviva Care Centers.
What's the perfect holiday gift this holiday season? Untucked shirts. They're the comfortable, easy-to-wear styles every guy loves. And there's never been a better time to buy because everything at Untucked is on sale right now. Untucked shirts are designed to be worn untucked, so they help guys to look sharp and feel comfortable. Who wouldn't love to unwrap one of our iconic wrinkle-free button-downs, super soft flannels, and our famous polos? So don't wait. Our holiday sale is the best time to find the perfect shirt at Untucked.com or at 80-plus Untucked stores. Untucked. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Here's a number you need to remember, 588-1850, 588-1850. Call Patrick Tuttle. He's a very good real estate agent, and he got sales and he's got rentals as well, so you can either rent your home through him or rent a home from him, as well as buy or sell a house. We did that recently. He knows what the heck he's doing. So there's that. And you've got a Keystone event.
Oh, yeah. You know, usually every year we do the Luminarias. That's one of our biggest fundraisers to help us keep the park running. And this year what we're doing instead of Luminarias, we have the first walk through the Winter Wonderland at Keystone Heritage Park. The gardens will be open from 8 p.m. on Thursdays through Sundays through January 6th, and you can come and walk through our Winter Wonderland. We have a lot of lights up and decorations for the holidays. Please wear a mask. Stay at least 6 feet away from people you do not know, you know, outside of your household. And play some Christmas music on your phone. Someday we'd like to have, you know, sound throughout the park, but right now we could just have to use your smartphone.
You're doing what you can.
Yeah, you're doing what we can. And you can stroll through the garden. It's only a $2 donation per person entry fee. And you can join by join a drawing to win a family membership for Keystone Heritage Park. And how to enter is to use the drawing is to go to PayPal, pay your pay link to use your donation or pay your donation there and post to the Keystone page or message us 3 pictures of the park.
What's the address for Keystone?
It's KeystoneHeritagePark.com. And sponsors of the event are Brenda T., who donated the lights, and the Junior League of El Paso, who also donated decorations and more lights. More information, visit the Keystone Heritage Park Facebook page or call 584-0563 for more information. I just got this morning.
So do you have the address for Keystone?
It's 4220 Donovan Drive in the Upper
Frontera,
Valley. Frontera. Zip code 79932.
All right, talking about International Boundary Water Commission, Gabe Dunn and Mark Howe. We also have a caller on the phone named Bonnie. Bonnie, thanks for ringing up. What's on your mind?
Hello, Jackson. Good morning. Hey. Good morning, Melissa.
Hi, Bonnie.
Bonnie Juarez with the Paso del Norte Paranormal Society.
Oh, stranger.
You're with what now, Martin?
How are you guys doing?
We're good. You're with what group now?
The Paso del Norte Paranormal Society and the Wigwam Museum
downtown.
Okay.
Bonnie Juarez.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
The one and only.
Yes, the one and only. That's for sure.
You got a boundary marker thought?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
We're talking about boundary monuments today. What are you up to?
Well, you know what, Miss Beulah asked me to give you a call because we have an event coming up on the 18th to benefit the El Pasoans Fighting Hunger and Concordia Heritage Association. We're going to do a one-of-a-kind first ever. We're going to do a drive-through fundraiser at Concordia Cemetery.
Oh, that ought to be interesting.
And we just kind of wanted to put it out there and let everybody know about it.
What's the date and what's the phone number for y'all?
The 18th of December, that's Friday. And our number is 915-274-9531.
Excellent. Okay.
What time is it?
It's going to be from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And we have a link on our Facebook page event where you can buy tickets or pay at the door, and it's only $10 a car.
And that's the 915 Paranoia, or not 915, Paso del Norte Facebook page, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Got it.
All right, thanks for ringing up. Good to talk to you. You take care.
Thank you. You guys take care.
Thanks, Bonnie. Take care.
Thank you very much. All right, we're going to turn our attention now to Chamizal. And we have some video that we cooked up for the ABC 7 series with Bernie Sargent. And Gabe Dinan, you are probably the expert on Chamizal. But as we play the video that we have here, we start the video out. It's inside the museum. There's actually a really nice museum at the Chamizal that has boundary markers stuck in there. You got surveying people and equipment. And that's the kind of thing that we find very fascinating at the monument itself. And then there's a couple of wide shots. Talk about the Chamizal in general for a minute, if you would.
You know, this Chamizal issue between Mexico and the United States goes back a long way to 1864. The river back then used to meander through the valley. Meander means it just goes where it wants to go because it finds a path of least resistance and follows it. And the valley here in El Paso is what they call alluvial, which is like mostly sand. So as the river would flow through this area, just whip across the valley like a water hose that has too much pressure. You can see it whipping on the floor there when you turn it on. And you can kind of expand that idea to a river. That's what they like to do in the alluvial valley. They just whip across the valley as they release the force that they have, the water force that they have behind them during floods and things. So in 1864, the river kind of bulged out, sort of like an inner tube that has too much air in it, kind of bulged out and then came back towards itself and then tied back into the channel, just kind of like an aneurysm, what you might think, or
goodness,
or a teardrop. And the neck of the teardrop is at the very top. So that's what the situation you had here in Cordova Island, part of Mexico. And then this flood comes around in 1864, and it straightens out the river, and it leaves that piece of the teardrop in the United States or in the north part of the river. Now the river's changed, and then there's a question. Who owns that land? Well, it was still owned by Mr. Garcia. His name was, let me find it here on my notes here, Pedro I. Garcia. He owned title to that land going back to 1827, which is a pretty long time. And he never really disclaimed that land. He said it was his land. He went to the Mexican federal government, and he said, that's my land across the river, and I want to keep farming it. And he would go back and forth and farm that land. Well, of course, some people in the United States said, no, the river's the boundary. Go back to Mexico.
We're going to put up a map while you're talking, a hand-drawn map. Go ahead, Andrew. Go ahead, Gabe. Keep going.
Yeah, so that map that you'll show up here in a few seconds is a Mexican map showing where the boundary was according to Mexico. And you can see the teardrop, the reverse teardrop coming into the north. And that was Cordova Island. He never gave it up, like I said. And this became a real point of contention between the United States and Mexico, because back in the day, I mean, Mexico lost half of its territory to the United States. And then there were other areas where Mexico lost to the United States, and they were fed up with it. They didn't want to give one more inch of land that they felt was theirs to the United States, more powerful country to the north. So every time there was a meeting between the two governments, Mexico would say, well, what are you going to do about the Chamizal situation in Cordova Island? What are you going to do about that? And there was never really a good answer from the United States. And it was a point of contention until the Kennedy administration took it up. Now, why did they do that? because Mr. Kennedy, President Kennedy, is a pretty astute guy, wanted to find out what the issues were in the El Paso area so he could, you know, get more votes. And he spoke to Mr. Sam Young of the El Paso National Bank. Many of you remember who are my age, the El Paso National Bank.
Oh, yeah, I do.
It's now, what, the Chase Bank? I forget now.
Well, it was that building, yeah.
Yeah. And Mr. Young says, well, issues in El Paso, Mr. Kennedy, there's this issue in Mexico called the Chamizal and Cordova Island. And Kennedy picked up on it. And he says, well, what's the history about it? Well, way back in the day, they formed a commission of three parties, a Mexican commissioner, U.S. commissioner, and a commissioner out of Canada to arbitrate the thing. And they couldn't come to an agreement. Well, what happened? Well, they gave three-quarters of the vote, which was two of the members, agreed with Mexico that that was still Mexican land because the river moved violently instead of gradually. And the U.S. commissioner said, you know what, we can't accept that because we felt that we were going to end this dispute, you know, at this one time, and we're not going to arbitrate it. Whoever got the most votes was going to gain access and land, and we don't want to agree with it. So they didn't agree with it, and then the issue just festered and festered and festered and kept on going until our astute President Kennedy came over here and said, you know what, we got to settle this thing. So they pretty much settled the way it was arbitrated back in 1911.
Let me stop you there, Gabe. I'm sorry, we have to take another break. We're going to come back and talk about what happened with Kennedy when he went to Mexico on this issue because it was a big deal. So hold your place right there, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Great. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
iHeartRadio Earth is here with a new way to enjoy our beautiful planet. Winter weather can bring snow and ice to your doorstep, but instead of using salt to clear this wintry mess, use eco-friendly alternatives like sand and sawdust. Some de-icers, such as rock salt, can pose a hazard to children, pets, and the environment, and should be used sparingly because of that. Brought to you by iHeartRadio Earth and the National Environmental Education Foundation. To find more tips for smarter, sustainable living, or to take action in your own community, go to iHeartRadio.com/earth.
If shopping for the holidays gives you the shivers, check out Uptown Cheapskate. Want a handbag? How about a Michael Kors for just $40? Or Louis Vuitton, Coach, Tory Burch, or Kate Spade at fantastic savings? Jewelry? How about Kendra Scott earrings for $17? And athletic wear with names like Lululemon and Nike? For men, shop Patagonia and North Face. There's jeans of all kinds, and the list of incredible values goes on and on. Shopping has never been so much fun, except for maybe the savings. And if your closet has gently worn items that don't fit, the color isn't right, or you just want something fresh, then bring them to Uptown Cheapskate for cash or store credit on the spot. And now there's also selections of brand new items. The holidays are a breeze with Uptown Cheapskate on Mesa across from the Don Haskins Center and 1225 Wedgwood at McRae. Someone even saw reindeer parked outside. I guess everyone loves a bargain.
El Paso. Join the El Paso United Family Resiliency Center, which supports those impacted by the August 3rd tragedy. For a virtual tour, December 16th at 11 a.m., hear stories of hope and learn how we can support your healing journey. Visit elpasounited.org/ayearofresilience to register.
If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Indeed delivers quality candidates so you can focus on interviewing people with the right skills. Receive a $75 sponsored job credit when you upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
Talk El Paso is going daily. Join host Andrew J. Polk weekdays at 4 with the Borderlands' only live local talk radio show, breaking down the impact of the news and taking your calls. That's Talk El Paso live Monday through Friday at 4 right here on News Radio 690 KTSM.
Sponsorship and advertising opportunities are also available. To find out on how you can affordably reach an affluent and highly educated demographic, please call iHeartMedia at 915-351-5473. That's 915-351-5473.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are you going to Pepe's today?
Yes, I am. I'm going to be there.
Okay. I mean, I may swing by and get some pickup.
That's perfect. Perfect time for their wonderful chicken sopa, my favorite
dish.
And
get a gift certificate for $25. It costs you $20. Anyway, all right. We got some comments on here from all kinds of people. Emil Vedelez.
Yeah.
And you talked to him by a message.
I sent him a message, but he had a question about the Socorro missions, but I told him, I said, that's a great topic. I mean,
it's not a boundary marker.
Yeah,
that's
it's a great topic for another show.
Exactly.
So, and he wanted to know if Mark could talk about it. So,
and Dennis Daly thanks us for the show, and he wants to talk about the land boundary located in the, what was the difference in the initial surveys? We'll get to that in an hour or two.
Yeah.
We're going to finish up now about Chamizal, and Gabe Duran and Mark Howe are on here. We've got a picture going up here now of Kennedy and doing a fabulous celebration with people. But that's John F. Kennedy as president, not in El Paso or America. He was in Mexico City. What is that about?
That's correct, yeah. From the Mexican point of view, after all these losses to the United States, when Mexico finally got America or the United States to talk about this land dispute, and that we were going to have a president visit Mexico City, it was a huge deal. The Mexicans pretty much felt really good about, finally we get something, we're going to settle this with this big, powerful neighbor to the front, to the north of us. And Kennedy was welcomed to Mexico City by 500,000, at one estimate, people coming out to see the president, which is huge back then. And, I have to give it to President Kennedy, because at the time, communism was starting to make inroads, and you had the Cuban Missile Crisis that just happened. And he was he had the foresight to say, well, let's try to work with our Hispanic neighbors to the south and kind of put the damper on communism in these Latin American countries. So that was one of his reasons. And which reminds me of another story of one of our El Paso's favorites, Nolan Richardson. He was into basketball and was talking to a basketball player back then. He said, you know what? As a middle school student, we were playing a game against a local school here, and I looked up, and there was Nolan Richardson. He was scoping out the team that he was going to play against in the following week.
Ah.
Well, that's what pretty much Kennedy did here. He's scoping out what the issues are in the country and what issues could be addressed. And, of course, he came upon the Chamizal issue. And, El Paso fell in love with President Kennedy, of course.
Oh, yeah.
That was a summer that negotiated and visited El Paso. And then he dies just a few months later in November.
Oh, yeah.
1963. So
let's move on.
Pretty
to
impressive.
Some...
And, there are a lot of good things that the federal government does. And sometimes we don't hit a home run a lot of times. But in this case, the United States government did hit a home run with negotiating with Mexico and doing what they had to do right.
In the Chamizal, you had mentioned there was a bunch of houses, and you wanted me to show those. We're about to put those up here. Let's move on back to that. The Chamizal itself, when it was taken over and had to be returned to Mexico, the United States citizens were living there, and you wanted to comment on the kind of houses. And to just roll through those a little bit, the houses, they were pretty good-looking houses.
Well, let's turn back the clock here a little bit. And
you got 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes in this segment.
Everyone knows about the Chamizal, and you go to the wonderful displays at the Chamizal Memorial and the history of it. But let's talk about the more practical things from that point of view. And you can see some of the houses now. They're coming up on the screen that were there. Two big neighborhoods were there. One was Rio Linda, which was a neighborhood that was established like after World War II. A lot of military, ex-military soldiers who fought in World War II settled there. And they settled in these one- and two-bedroom homes with cinder block construction, and they made a pretty comfortable living there. They improved their homes. And here's one interesting thing about those homes in those neighborhoods. Banking in Mexico has always been kind of shady, especially in the early years. You would have your money in the bank, and they would devalue the peso, and then you would lose a lot of value. So a lot of these residents who lived in the Chamizal, they would put their money literally under their mattress. There's one story where the appraisers for the Boundary Commission went into a home, and they saw a pipe in a bedroom, and the pipe was sitting vertically, and it was just open at the top. So the appraiser says, "Hey, what's this pipe in here?" And he says, the owner says, "Hey, that's where I keep my money." "What do you mean you keep your money in the pipe?" "Yeah." The gentleman would put his money at the end of the day that he earned, and he would put it down the pipe, and it would go down into a basement and into a chest. So special precautions had to be taken when they demolished his house to retrieve the chest, give an accurate account of all the money that was there. And I understand it was a pretty good sum of money.
Unusual
many
stuff.
Many of the people who lived in the Chamizal owned their homes outright.
Oh, yeah.
They had paid them after the war, and they owned them. They didn't have a lot of mortgages. I'm sure some people did. But
well, Gabe, you also mentioned to me, you told me that these people also got paid top dollar when they finally did have to sell to the government. And that's a good thing.
I mentioned how well the government
took care of them. All right, we're going to stop you right there. We're going to pick up the second hour after the history moment and come back to a couple of Chamizal stories like the Salazar Confectionery and the Chamizal Dump. Very unusual stories in the stories of Chamizal. And then after that, we'll get back into some more stuff with Mark, because Mark has the works of a man who used to work at the Boundary Commission. All of his papers showed up. We'll talk about that after the break. Guys, stick with us. We'll be seeing you again after the news.
See you soon.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita, and by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.